Welcome to Swamp Swami's Sweep the Kitchen Weekly Audio Podcast. We're going to try this. We'll see how it works. As you know, I usually like to do a blog on a particular subject and an accompanying podcast to describe that. And it's kind of fun. It's 6, 7, 8 minutes usually. And I just wanted to see how it would sound if we could take a lot of the sports events that didn't quite make it into the let's do a show on this one or this one this week and put it all together and put them on the pizza and cook them and see what comes out of the oven. So today I got some fast takes on the NBA, the NFL, a lot of golf news, and then I'm going to take a parting shot at the absolute silliness of the sports media. But first, the NBA trade deadline has come and gone. 2 p.m. Central on Thursday. For Anthony Davis of the New Orleans Pelicans, no deal. For ESPN and ABC, you're going to get no LeBron James in the finals this year in Los Angeles. First of all, the Lakers were hoping that they could get Anthony Davis and make a run up the board and get into the NBA Western Conference playoffs for this year, and then add another piece, a third piece, sometime this summer. Someone like Kyrie Irving or Kawhi Leonard, let's say, and have LeBron, Anthony Davis, and a third piece for next year. They'd be unbeatable, and ABC and ESPN would be drooling over that possibility. But at least for now, the New Orleans Pelicans said no deal to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers apparently offered up to 5 players, mostly of their better players. Well, if you want to call Lonzo Ball one of their better players, and a couple of draft choices. And apparently the Pelicans feel like they can even do better this summer. For the Pelicans, well, you're going to have Anthony Davis on your roster for the remainder of this season. Are you going to play him or are you not? If he gets hurt, what's his value going to be to you this summer? What good is it going to do if you're trying to tank it and get a lower pick in the NBA draft this summer? I really don't see what the Pelicans are up to unless they already had a deal in hand from someone else like the Celtics or like the New York Knicks or maybe another surprise team. See what they have available for the summer. So we will wait on that. And speaking of a surprise team bidding on Anthony Davis's services, don't forget there are 2 teams in Los Angeles now with the Los Angeles Clippers, and they have a cagey old guy named Jerry West who is helping build their team. He knows what he's doing, because he's the guy that put together the team in Golden State that you're looking at right now. So don't underestimate the old man participating in this game too. He could pick a few guys and bring them to LA. The Clippers will watch. Speaking of the rest of the NBA, let's face it, it's still owned by the Golden State Warriors unless the injury bug hits them. How can a team with Kevin Durant, Stephon Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, a talented and deep bench, a great coach, and now added Boogie Cousins, who's averaging like 15 points a game, how can they not be the favorites to win it all again this year? Yeah, the Eastern Conference, it's looking better. And there's going to be a dogfight, I think, with the surprising Milwaukee Bucks. Toronto now has Kawhi Leonard, and they're playing well again this year. The Boston Celtics are getting healthy. And then you've got Philadelphia, we'll talk about in a minute. And the plucky Indiana Pacers are making a run for the Final Four in the East this year. As far as I'm concerned, until Milwaukee and Toronto actually make it to a finals event, I'm just not a big believer. I'll look for Boston or Philly to come out of the East this year. And speaking of Philly, they really do have a lot of possibilities coming into the home stretch here. If they added Jimmy Butler from Minnesota earlier in the season, and then before the trade deadline, they added Tobias Harris with the Clippers, both of them can put points in the basket. They dealt away the biggest first-round blunder in the NBA in quite some time by sending Markel Fultz, the guy who can't shoot straight, to Orlando. I don't understand. The story on Markel Fultz, in case you're not familiar, this is a guy who was drafted with the overall number one pick 2 years ago by Philadelphia. He averaged 20-something, 25 points a game at the University of Washington, came in as a can't-miss shooting star, going to add him to the Philadelphia team that already had a big center and another guy on the wing with Ben Simmons. Well, the guy literally has forgotten how to shoot a basketball. It's embarrassing to watch him try to shoot, including free throws. He says it's physical. I think it's mental. Orlando, a first-round pick, and some other players, that's why you don't make the playoffs. back to Philly. Great coaching, plus the best big man in the league not named Anthony Davis in Joel Embiid. And Ben Simmons from LSU, at least a one-and-done LSU, he still hasn't attempted a three-point shot this season, and he's only shooting 59% this year on free throws. That is the same as he was in college, the same as he was as a rookie last year, and the same as he's shooting this year. You know what that says to me? You don't work hard on your game. You are not Magic Johnson, and unless you work on your game, you might find yourself out of the league sooner than you think. Okay, that one's over. NFL, the Saints boycott last weekend was a big success. Let's talk about something, though. Let's talk about the lawsuits by the Saints ticket holders. That one was tossed. The reason for that was that the Saints ticket holders basically could ask for financial damages of the court, but they didn't. They were basically seeking to see if Roger Goodell would force the game to be, at least the ending of the game, to be played again. The ticket holders, though, can't compel the NFL to replay the game because ticket holders aren't part of the NFL. Lawsuit tossed out the window. However, after the game was completed last weekend, that other game that was played in Atlanta between two teams we won't mention, lawsuit number two has been filed by a New Orleans attorney. Now, he is seeking to compel the NFL to disclose how they select the referees for each football game and why they allowed four Southern California refs to call the Saints game against that other team who remains nameless. The attorney in this case is seeking to have Roger Goodell himself testify and explain the methodology on how the NFL selects referees because he's alleging fraud. That might be interesting. We'll keep an eye on that one for you, and you will hear it here first on SwampSwami.com. The ratings for that other game last weekend were down 5% over the prior year. Now, as a Saints fan, I'm a little disappointed that they weren't down more than that. However, there was the highest rating in Los Angeles, which has 5 million TV sets, in over 23 years. If you factor that in, if there was an average type of year on the West Coast, ratings might have been down 10% over the prior year, and for Houdat Nation, I'd call that victorious. Victorious because it was also a boring game, with two boring teams, and even more boring commercials this year. Hey Atlanta, how'd you enjoy it up there? You didn't want the Saints to play there. You deserve this mess. Now let's move to golf. A story emerged yesterday on CBSSports.com about golfer Rocco Mediate. You might remember Rocco. He was a very affable golfer, a likable, happy-go-lucky type of guy on the golf course. He's made it to the Senior Champions Tour here the last few years. He's won six times on the PGA events. He won three so far on the Senior Tour. And in that story, he admits that he drank every day up until about a year or so ago and gave it up. Good for him. But he even said that he drank while he was playing golf on the golf course during PGA events. Wow. You know, alcoholism remains a very serious issue, and it's a shame that Rocco didn't deal with this sooner in his life. I'm glad he is now. But you gotta wonder, back at that U.S. Open about 10 years ago when he got into the playoff with Tiger Woods, did he or didn't he? I don't know, but you gotta wonder now, if he was on his best game, who might have won that event. Good luck with your recovery, Rocco. Speaking of golf, there's been no shortage of talk about the various rule changes in golf that went into effect for this year in 2019, much of it revolving around players that have been allowed to leave the flagstick in while putting. And another one, that one has to do with lining up. Let's discuss rule number 10.2b4. It prohibits caddies from standing behind a golfer once the player has begun to address their ball in preparation of taking a stroke. If you've been following ladies golf, and most people haven't the last few years, a lot of the golfers, particularly the golfers from overseas, have used their caddies to literally stand behind them on a tee shot, from the fairway, chipping, and putting, up until literally before they start moving their arms to take a swing. The golf rules have been changed because that came across as cheating. I'm glad it's gone. Then you flip it around to the men's tour, and there have been a couple of controversies come up in the last week or so. A couple of weeks ago in the European tour, there was a gentleman who was putting out on the 18th green, had about a 2-foot putt to finish in third place for the tournament. As he was about to set up, his caddy kind of walked behind the line and then walked away right before he took the putt and made it. They announced a two-shot penalty, caddy interference, and the gentleman went from like third place to eighth and lost a lot of money. It was pretty obvious that the caddy really wasn't doing anything other than just taking a final look. Then there was the really odd one that happened last week in Phoenix in one of the early rounds where one of the other golfers, as if you play a threesome, let's say the first guy is Phil Mickelson, let's just say, and he's out in the woods and they're waiting on Phil to find his ball and hit it. Caddy for the other guy is down in the rough with the other golfer number three, let's say. He's standing behind the ball with the golfer, taking a look and say, okay, we got to get it over the water, you know, fly it up on the green, hit it about here. Well, that's considered legal unless the golfer is in the process of setting up for his shot. The tournament assessed a two-shot penalty of that golfer and his caddy for standing behind him and looking it over. That caused the Golf Channel, that caused all the guys that come on TV and raise heck about all of this to say, that's unfair, we've got to get this changed. The spirit of the rule basically is to undo what the LPGA has been doing. Yes, if a caddy is like right behind you before you're ready to putt, mostly on the men's tour, it's in a putting position where the caddy does tend to linger sometimes. The caddy in the fairway is looking at it just to see, okay, if you hit it that way, main guy, you're going to hit it in the tree. You don't want to do that. The main spirit of it is to, once the player sets himself and is ready to take his shot, caddy shouldn't be anywhere in the picture. Tee box, fairway, or on the green. Watch for that to change. Final take, the media. NBA's Kevin Durant finally spoke with a member of the media this week after a game the other night. Why? Is that a big deal? Well, it's the first media comment from Kevin Durant in over a week, and here's how it went. This is the full exchange according to one news report. I'll be the reporter and Kevin Durant, okay? Here's reporter. Mr. Durant, you haven't talked in a while. Is there anything you can tell us on your mind, or has it just been coincidence? Durant, why do you care? Reporter, because you usually talk. Well, I don't feel like talking the last couple of days. Well, is there anything in particular, sir? Nope. Did it have anything to do with the conversation about free agency? Well, that's the conversation you're gonna have. I don't think about that type of stuff. That's your job. Reporter, you've obviously been around the noise. Does it bother you more this year? Is it louder? And this is Durant in his words. It's necessary. You got a dude, Ethan Strauss, who come in here and give his opinion on stuff, and it make it seem like it's coming from me. He just walk around, don't talk to nobody, survey, and write something like that. Now y'all piling on me because I don't want to talk to y'all about it. I have nothing to do with the Knicks. I don't know who traded Porzingis. I ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm trying to play basketball. Y'all come in here every day, ask me about free agency, about my teammates, my coach, rile up the fans about it. Let us play basketball. That's all I'm saying. Now I don't want to talk to y'all, and that's a problem with me. Come on, man, grow up. Look, you and Strauss, grow up. Come on, bro. I come in here and go to work every day. I don't cause no problems. I play the right way. I try to play the right way. I try to be the best player I can be on every possession. What's the problem? What am I doing to y'all? Reporter, well, you weren't talking. You weren't talking to the media. Durant, so? Who are you? Why do I have to talk to you? Tell me, is it going to help me do my job any better? No, I didn't feel like talking. Reporter, well, you're not usually quiet. You usually share your opinions on stuff, so everybody's trying to figure out what's going on. We're all getting questions from fans like, what's wrong with Kevin? We just tell them he's playing okay, but he's just not talking right now. Durant, I just don't trust none of y'all. Every time I say something, it gets twisted up and thrown out in so many different publications, try to take me down with my words that I say. So when I don't say nothing, that's a problem. I just want to play ball. I want to go to the gym and go home. That's all. Is that a problem? Kevin Durant, despite the fact that your English isn't exactly the best, I have to agree with you. It does seem like, over the years, and increasingly so, whether it's the sports media or the other media, they're trying to make something when there isn't anything. Now, in Kevin Durant's case, he's not totally innocent. He has been known in the past as a crybaby. He does go on and do the Twitter stuff. He kind of brings on the problem, and now he wants the media to go away. They're not going away. But Kevin, if you want to keep your mouth shut, play ball for the Golden State Warriors, and collect your ring at the end of the season, I have no problem with that either. And if you sign with the Knicks in the offseason, great. If you don't sign with the Knicks, fine with me. Just take your job, do it the best you can, and wherever you're at, try to bring them a championship. That's all you can do. Reporters, why don't you ask him a question about how his free throws are going, or how was the rebounding tonight, how you think the team is doing? Ask a question about that, you should get a response. Ask a question about how you're feeling, and what about this rumor, and what about that rumor? I think, Durant, you got it right. Well, I've covered a lot. I hope you've enjoyed this first of our podcast palooza. We're just having some fun with it, and I'll stick with the regular format. We'll intensely work over certain subjects, but if once a week or so we have enough information that we want to bring you the leftovers, we'll do it like this. Come join me next time. Tell a friend about us here at SwampSwami.com. Really appreciate your listenership.